join in the call to worship. I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from the Lord. God alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. God has spoken plainly, and I've heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. Surely you repay all people according to what they have done. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, we have come together in this place to worship your holy name. Your name deserves to be worshiped above all others. Lord, we seek to adore you, to love you, and to experience your very presence among us this day as we worship you in spirit and in truth through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. I'm going to invite all the children now to come forward. I want them to join me on the front row so that we'll have a front row seat of the Hosanna Dance Company. And take a moment and greet those close by. Let them know you're glad to see them today. Right there.
Prayer of the children abandoning in the shadow of an unknown room. Empty eyes with no more tears to cry, turning heavenward toward the cry, Jesus, help me to see the morning light of one more day. But if I should die before I wake, I pray my soul to take. Can you feel the hearts of the children aching for home, for something of their very own, reaching hands with nothing to hold on to, but hope for a better day, a better day. Crying, Jesus, help me to feel the love again. But if unknown roads lead away from home, give me loving arms away from home. Gospel full of hate, blood of the innocent on their hands, crying, Jesus, help me to feel the sun again upon my face. For when darkness clears, I know you're near, bringing peace again. Can you hear the prayer of the
That song was called Prayer of the Children, and so I want to pray for you right now. You that are getting ready to go to children's church, I want to pray especially for you. Let's join together in prayer. Lord, I thank you for every child who's sitting here right now I pray your special blessings on them. May they know your love. May they know that you love them. Watch over them, Lord. Keep them safe. Help them with any fears that they have. Calm their fears and give them what they need, exactly what they need for each day to face what they are facing in their life right now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're glad all of you are here, and now you can go out to Children's Church, learn more about Jesus. The Bible is an ancient book written over some 1,500 years by some 40 different human authors. It's a wonderful book written by lots of different people in lots of different places, but that's all it is. They talk about their faith in God in the book, but the book itself was only written by humans. God didn't have any part in the bringing together of the book, and it is filled with contradictions that just don't make sense, but it's still a good book to read. That is a view of many people in our world today. Glad I didn't stop and have a vote on me for whether or not I would stay. But no, that's the view of many people. It's not my view, but it's the view of many people, many of the people that maybe that you know. And let me give you an example. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5, our text for today. Here's one of the contradictions, supposed contradiction. Proverbs 26, verse 4. Do not answer fools according to their folly, or you yourself will be just like them. Should you answer a fool? No. Read on. Answer fools according to their folly, or they will be wise in their own eyes. Should you answer a fool? Yes. Now, wait a minute. You say no, you say yes. What's the answer? Well, let's think about it. First of all, ancient people were not the dummies that we make them out to be. We think of ourselves as enlightened and technologically advanced and much wiser than people who lived centuries ago. Sometimes that is not the case at all. And so we think of ancient people putting the Bible together. If these were really contradictory verses, they wouldn't put them side by side. What I would have done is, put one somewhere at the beginning and one, hidden them so that when you read the first one and then you read a bunch of other stuff, by the time you got to the next one, you would have forgotten that you read the first one. But no, here they are, side by side. But it's not a contradiction. You have to remember that we're looking at Proverbs. Now, anytime you read anything, you need to consider the type of literature you're reading, its source. That's true in the Bible. It's true in anything else that you read. For example, I would not read one of the stories in Genesis the same way that I would read a text from one of you. If I receive a text from you, it might have words that are not completely spelled out. It might have emojis. It might have all kinds of things. It might have something in it that I wouldn't want to read out loud in front of all of you. But you have to consider what you're reading before you read it. Same thing in the Bible. Now, there are different types of literature in the Bible. When it comes to Proverbs, Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's written by different people, not just by one person, but by different people. It's wisdom that has been distilled from years of experience. It's as if somebody says, I'm older now. I've lived a long time. I've seen lots of things. And I've learned a few things along the way. Let me write down some of the things that I've learned so that I can pass it on to the next generation. A lot of these are, short, pithy statements. Not all the Proverbs are that way, but a lot of them are that way. And here we have two that sound like they're contradictory, but what do they really mean? What the author's trying to say, I believe, is that there are some people. First of all, let's talk about fools. Who are fools? Fools are not people who are stupid, people who, people who make lower grades in school, people who can't play sports, people who don't have abilities. No. Fools in Proverbs are not, the word fool is not an intellectual statement, it's a moral statement. It's anybody who lives as if there is no God. And let me ask you, has there been any time this past week that you have lived or acted as if there is no God? Probably so. According to Proverbs, any of us, when we do that, we're being foolish. It's foolish to live as if there's no God when there really is a God. And so, what do you do when a fool insults you? That's what we're talking about today, how to deal with insults. And basically, he says, you got two choices. Sometimes it's good not to even answer them. Why? What does he say? Because if you try to get down and dirty with them, you might become just like them. Some of their foolishness will rub off on you. So don't even bother trying to answer them. On the other hand, sometimes you need to answer fools and show them, point out exactly what their folly is, or they will think they're right and they'll be wise in their own eyes. Now, which one do you choose? You know which one you choose? It takes wisdom. Wisdom of the book of Proverbs to know whether to answer or whether not to answer. So how do you respond to insults? Last week we looked at flying off the handle and handling anger. And a number of you have told me since the sermon last Sunday that I actually had one person walk out and say, how did you know that I was going to be here and that I needed to hear exactly what you said? I mean, let's be honest. Anger is something that we all struggle with at times. And this, too, is something I think we struggle with, dealing with insults. I know as a pastor, I'll be honest with you, I won't name names and tell places, but I've had a few insults in my time. You know, it's like this. If I stand at the front door on a Sunday morning and many of you walk by and greet me, and I'm standing there, and you're a nice person, so, and you don't know what else to say, so you say, good sermon today. You know, that's a nice thing to say. But, you know, if I have 100 people say that to me, but then I have one person come with a pointed criticism, you know what I'm going to remember? Even if I kind of inside feel like, well, that person doesn't know what they're talking about. They're way off base. They've got a problem of their own. This isn't about me. It's about their problem. Even if I think things like that, still, that pointed criticism will stick, and it will hurt, and I'll think about it and mull it over in my mind. And why? We just tend to be that way when it comes to insulting remarks. What should we do about insults? Well, if you're looking at your bulletin, let's think about six things to remember when we are insulted. First thing is, it may surprise you who it is. You know, generally my friends, you know, we get along generally, and generally we don't insult one another. Generally, my insults come from my enemies or people that I disagree with or people I don't like or people I've already had a run-in with. But, you know, sometimes it even comes from a friend. Psalm 41, the psalmist says, even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. You know when Jesus quoted that verse? He quoted that very verse. You know who he's talking about? Judas. Yes. Close friend, disciple, traveled with me 3 years, made him treasurer, invested my time in him, and then he lifted up his heel against me. It may surprise you sometimes who it is that brings the insult. Secondly, don't give what you get. Don't give what you get. Don't give back to them what they have given to you. Let me read you another proverb that applies to that point. Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know, if someone comes to me and they're angry and insulting, my emotions get to working and I get angry, and you know what I want to do? If they've given me an insult of this level, I want to up the ante and give them a better one, a bigger one. Well, you can say that, but I'll say this. Not what that proverb says. You know, if you continue on, what you need to do is stop the cycle. This cycle is going and it's, you know, increasing. Stop that. It's not a competition. Some of us are very competitive. It's not a competition. Well, they gave me this. I'll give them one back better than that. No, bring it down. Don't give back what you get. And then number three, listen well to discover what the real issue is. Listen. Now, you know, for some reason, talking is easier than listening. I can talk and talk and talk and talk, and then you have something to say, and never mind, listen to me, you know, I want to talk. But listening and stopping my talking, closing that mouth, keeping it closed, using my brain and my heart, and listening to what you have to say, that's hard work. And you know, sometimes we just don't want to work that hard. And so we keep on talking. But sometimes we need to listen. We need to listen to, and when I say listen, I don't just mean listen to the words, but look at the person. Understand where they're coming from, the situation they're in. Listen to what's going on in their life and try to figure out exactly what the real issue is so that you can help them. Now, that's hard when you're receiving an insult. But this is what Jesus has called us to do. I read recently a story about a mom who had had three children. And somewhere along the way, she had said that, you know, I think I need to lose a little weight. I collected a little more each time that I've been pregnant, and I think I might want to lose a little weight. Well, her husband decided that he would try to help her with her losing weight. Can you tell what's coming? Tell there's a problem coming. Well, he said, honey, I've got a great idea. Why don't, starting tomorrow morning, we'll both get up at 6 o'clock and we'll go to the gym together and we'll work out. Well, guess what? She was not a morning person. You know, she was the kind that when the alarm goes off, you hit snooze. And again, you know, I'm never getting up till at least hit snooze three times, you know, that kind of thing. Pull the covers up. Oh, I want to stay warm. I don't want to get up. She was not going to be getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning and going to the gym. See, that was his idea, but not hers. Well, soon after this, one day they went to a party together with friends milling about and talking, and she heard her husband walk over to a man who was a friend of theirs and say, hey, I'm going to start working out at 6 o'clock at such gym. You want to join me? And you know what she felt like? She felt like that she was being thrown under the bus, that he was choosing him over her, that he had pushed her to the side. And you know how she, you know what anger she felt? What emotion, you know, the intensity of that anger? But then once she thought about it and listened well, and considered what really was going on, she thought, you know, maybe this isn't about him pushing me aside. Maybe that friend has some need. Maybe there's something going on in his life more than just wanting to exercise at 6 o'clock, and maybe he's reaching out to help him. Maybe this is, you know, an act of compassion on his part. And so she thought, no, I'm not going to get mad about that. I'm going to let him have that time with his friend. Now, Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, He told us what to do to the people who are our enemies. And we have friends, but we also have enemies. Our friends, you know, we like to do things nice to and for them. We like to spend time with them. We enjoy being with them. They're our friends. But our enemies, what do you like to do to your enemies? What would you like done to your enemies? Well, listen to what Jesus said. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. You ever been cursed? Jesus said, bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who persecute you. Now, there are four things right there. You want to write them down, think about, this is what I'm going to do for those people I don't like. Love them. Bless them. Do good to them. Pray for them. As I thought about that verse, I thought about our political discourse today and how we talk about each other. You know, you meet someone and you kind of find out which side they're on in politics. They say something, they make some comment, and immediately you have a string of insults to give to them because they're ignorant, right? I mean, there's no way they could hold that position unless they're just ignorant, right? Isn't that clear to you? Isn't that the way we think? But instead of having a string of insults ready to give to them, what if we love them? Even when they disagree with us, even when they don't see it the way I see it, and the way I see it's got to be right, you know. Love them. Bless them. Do good to them. Pray for them. Number four, ask for help from someone else. Ask for help from someone else. Now this, I don't mean gossip. Did you know what she said to me? Let me tell you exactly what she said to me. And you know what I said back to her? Let me tell you what I said back to her. No, not all that. If somebody insults me, maybe I can go to a trusted friend, someone who can keep it confidential, and say to them, and maybe I don't even need to say who said it, but I can just say, you know, I had somebody the other day say such and such about me. You know me. Is some of that true? Is that something I need to work on? Now, you know, most of us are probably not willing to ask that question. Because you know why? I don't need to work on anything. I'm already good enough. I don't need to change anything. No, we all have things we need to work on. So check it out. Ask someone that you know, that you trust, is this something I really need to work on? Maybe it is. And help me with that. If this is something I need to work on, maybe I'm just coming across wrong to people. Help me with that. Help me to smooth off some of my rough edges or whatever it might be. Then number five, reconcile to the best of your ability with the person who insults you. Now, Romans 12:18, Paul says, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. He didn't just say live at peace with everyone. He says, as much as it depends on you, you do your part. And here's the way it works when you're at odds with somebody. Forgiveness takes one person. Reconciliation takes two people. Understand? Forgiveness. Somebody can do the worst possible thing to me, and it the worse the thing is, the harder it is to forgive. I know that. But I can forgive in my heart just me, one person. That doesn't mean that I reconcile with that person, because that person may want to have nothing to do with me. But I can forgive them alone with God's help. Forgiveness takes one person. Reconciliation takes two people. Two people who are willing to come together and lay aside some of those grievances and reconcile with each other. So if you can, as much as you can, reconcile to the best of your ability. And then number six, always go back to God. Go back to God. Talk with God about what's going on in your life. Reminds me of the story of Jonathan Edwards, who was one of the great preachers of the Great Awakening in the early days, even before we were the United States of America. And he was a preacher, a pastor, at a congregation in Northampton, Massachusetts. And one day he was voted out of his church. There were a lot of people who were against him and who insulted him a lot. And here's what he wrote about dealing with insults. Now this is, you know, not today's English, but listen carefully to what he wrote. As love to God prevails, it tends to set persons above human injuries. In this sense, that the more they love God, the more they will place all their happiness in Him. They will look to God as their all and seek their happiness in portion in His favor, and thus not in the allotments of His providence alone. In other words, not look for happiness in my circumstances, but in God, who doesn't change. The more they love God, the less they set their hearts on their worldly interests, which are all that their enemies can touch. You know, I can have an enemy, and my enemy can be dead set against me, and my enemy can take certain things away from me, but one thing my enemy cannot take away from me is my relationship with God. God's love is set upon us in a permanent, eternal way in and through His Son, Jesus Christ, so that there is absolutely nothing that can sever that relationship, nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Savior, not even your enemies, unless you let your enemies get the best of you and you let their insults boil up anger from within you, and you lash out at them and forget all the things that Jesus has said about loving your enemies, and instead of loving them, you let them have it. You ever done that? We've probably all done that. Jesus calls us back to remember, love your enemies. Do good to them. Pray for them. That's the way you respond to insult. So should you answer a fool? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It takes wisdom to know. But even if you do, answer in the love of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Oh Lord, it is hard for us to be insulted and not to respond in anger, lashing back at the person, giving what we've gotten from them. But you have called us to a different way of life, not to equalize things by whatever I get, I give right back, but to respond in a different way. When I'm given anger, when I'm given a harsh word, I respond with a soft word, a gentle answer. Lord, this is not something that we can do on our own. It's only something that we can do as the fruit of the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit works in our lives, to change us and transform us into the image of your dear Son. So, Lord, we pray for each other that we would respond to insults in a way that would be pleasing to you, and that others would see in us a difference, that we're different from other people, maybe even other people who claim the name of Jesus but are filled with anger. Help us not to be that kind of person, but the kind of person you have called us to be, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, we pray for many that are in need in our world this day. They need to be reminded that they are loved. Lord, the ones we've named on our prayer list, sometimes sickness, they're sick for month after month, and it seems like maybe that you're not near. I pray that you'd help them to know that indeed you are near to them. And I pray for strength for them and for their families, that you might provide for their needs. Lord, thank you that we can always turn to you and know that you listen, and you listen well, and you care, and you respond. We thank you for that through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who long ago taught his followers to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You'll see in your bulletin that we'll be taking the offering now. The regular offering plates will receive the regular offering from the church, but the baskets that are passed will be specifically for Hosanna Dance Company. So if you put cash in there, it will go for that. If you want to write a check, that's fine. Just make it payable to the church and write Hosanna Dance Company on the memo line. They have not asked for any money. They're just here to share the message of Christ with us, but I think it's good for us to express our love and appreciation through these gifts. So experience now the song, How Beautiful. If you're not familiar with that song, it talks about how beautiful the body of Christ is, Jesus who gave his life for us. And then think about, too, that Jesus says that now we are the body of Christ. How beautiful.
How beautiful.
Lord our God, we give all praise and honor to you. We thank you for the experience of being together, for seeing this music enacted. We thank you for the Hosanna Dance Company and their willingness to be with us today. But above all, Lord, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that indeed he was willing to come to this earth, be one of us, follow the Father's plan, suffer for us, give his life, lay down everything he had for us, that we might know you, that we might know your love. So, Lord, whatever response we can give seems so small, and yet we give it, saying thank you to you for your great love, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. I invite you now to be seated. I'll bring the benediction in just a moment, and then you'll get to see the Hosanna Dance Company again. Thank you so much, all of you, for being here with us. Let's express our thanks to them once again. Thank you. Their director, June Williams. June, thank you so much. We're so glad that you're here. We're looking forward to one more presentation. And then, after they finish, of course, you may leave, and you'll see at the exits, our youth will be there with the Super Bowl of Caring offering. So now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, now and forevermore.
Beautiful. to your